All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2 for the message tonight. All right, I would like to start reading, please, at verse 9. I'm sorry, verse 10. Verse 10. The Bible here says in verse 10, and the child grew. It's talking about Moses. You remember his family hid him in the bulrushes, put him in an ark in a little basket, and stuck it in between the, was that me or you? Huh? Am I breaking up? I'm on. But anyway, put him in an ark and kind of stuck him in the bulrushes so that he couldn't tip it over or whatever. And so Pharaoh's daughter came down to wash, as she was commonly known to do at a certain time. And they placed the baby in the basket so that she would find him. And when she did, she had compassion on him. And she took him and then said to her servant, who was the brother of Moses, said, she said, "Can I get someone from the Hebrews to nurse this baby?" And she said, "Yes, do that." So his sister came and got Moses' mother, and she moved into the house of Pharaoh, where they took care of Moses. And I'm sure all of you know that Moses' life is kind of divided, the first 40 years, and then the second 40 years, and then the final 40 years. So he had 40 years in Egypt, and then he had 40 years in Midian, and then he had 40 years in the wilderness, leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. And so let's pick it up now in verse 10. And in verse 10, the Bible says, "And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses." Moses, the word means drawn out. Drawn out. And of course, he was drawn out of the bulrushes, out of the water. And she named him that. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. In other words, they were working together. And he said to him that did the wrong, "Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?" And he said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killed the Egyptian?" And Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now, the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled their troughs with water to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that ye are come so soon today?" In other words, it should have taken them a lot longer to water the flocks and their home early. And so, how is it that ye come so soon today? And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us and watered the flocks." Now, let's stop right there. And I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, the difficulty of waiting on God. You know, it's hard to wait on the Lord sometimes, isn't it? Yeah, it's difficult, especially when you've got a major decision, something that is burdening your heart, and you have to wait upon the Lord to get an answer. And sometimes it just seems like the answer is so slow to come. And sometimes, oftentimes, many times, we end up chafing over the matter of waiting on the Lord to show us His will. All right, so let's pray, and then the message. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray now that You will bless us richly as we open the Word of God tonight. I thank You so much for the day that You have blessed us with. It's been a wonderful day, and we rejoice in Your blessing. And Father, many of our folks are not well, and it's difficult for them to get out, and I pray that You will bless them. I trust that they are listening online tonight. And Father, I just pray that You will comfort hearts and encourage hearts, and just help us to learn how to wait upon You and allow You to guide and direct in our lives. So Father, give us what we need, that we might understand how we can be patient and how we can learn to trust You and Your will. So bless us now, we ask. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Moses displayed a great deal of heroism to the people of Israel when he stepped out of the house of Pharaoh to share his lot with his own people, the Hebrew people in Goshen. Now, you would almost think that he would act like Joseph. You remember that Joseph would send food to his brethren, and he sent them home to his father with their animals loaded down with grain. And you would think that just maybe Moses would have just stayed in good terms with Pharaoh so that he could filter the good things, the good treasures from the land, and send them food and money and other things that they could have used. But it was a far greater a spiritual thing that Moses had in mind, and he wanted to not only provide for them as a people, but he wanted to lead them. He wanted to do something about their plight. You see, they were being held as servants for the Pharaoh, and he did not want that to be his lot, nor did he want it to be the lot of his own people. And no doubt, as Moses was growing on the knee of his mother, no doubt she taught him the faith. And when he got to be no longer a child, but became an adult, then he trusted that faith. He accepted that faith. And it was that faith that withstood and survived all the adverse influences of him growing up in the household, in the very heart of Egypt. Now, at the same time, folks, don't miss this. At the same time, there was still a great deal for Moses to learn. You know, there always is a great deal for us to learn, is there not? I mean, no matter how far along in the Christian life you may get in your lifetime, there's always room to get a little closer to the Lord. There's always something else that you can learn. Just recently, one of our church members sent me an email and said, Pastor, I've been saved, and told me how long they've been saved, and I've been in the church, and they told me how long they've been in the church. And then the fellow said that I wanted to just share with you that I experienced what you have said about the Bible, that no matter how familiar you are with a verse, you can read that verse and see something. God will show you something in that verse, even though you've been saved for years, that you had never seen before. And that is exactly what the Lord does. And so while Moses was a strong man, and while he was a leader, a natural born leader, nonetheless, Moses still had a great deal to learn. You see, it was at 40 years of age. Listen carefully now. It was at 40 years of age when he stepped out in verse 11 and went to identify with his people. He was wanting at that moment, he was wanting them to get behind him. He was wanting them to be able to look at him and say, wow, this guy wants to be our help. He wants to get us out from under the bondage. And I think we ought to follow him. But they did not do it. They did not do it. Instead, they chided Moses. They turned on him a little bit. And even though he was trying to get them free, these two Hebrews came up to him. They saw the thing. Moses didn't think anybody saw him, but they saw him. And so they started to chide him. Who made you a prince? Who made you a judge over us? That's like asking, who died and left you boss? You know, that's kind of what they're saying. And instead of jumping on the bandwagon and saying, if you'll lead us, we'll stand with you. We will back you. We will support you. But they wanted nothing to do with what Moses was wanting to do. Let me read to you in Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7. Let me read to you what Stephen said about this matter. In verse 23, of chapter 7, the Bible says, and when he, Moses, was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. Now listen very carefully to this next statement. Stephen says, and he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. You see, Moses said, man, they ought to see this. They ought to see that if they'll just fall in line here, that God will do a mighty deed and God will deliver them from Pharaoh. But the rest of the verse says, but they understood not. In other words, the people did not follow what Moses was trying to do. Now, the point is, God knew that Moses was not yet ready to be the leader of 3 million people. He knew he was not ready. Folks, you don't kick off your career by killing someone. All right? You just don't do that. I mean, there was a famous preacher down in Texas, had a huge church back in the 40s, and had a huge church, and somehow or another, he got into it with some guy in his church who came into his office and wanted to fight. And instead of fighting, the preacher pulled out a pistol and killed him. Now, it was self-defense, they said. And that was his testimony. And the courts believed him. And he was not prosecuted for what happened. But folks, that man's ministry was greatly impacted by that. As naturally it would be and should be. And so, what do you have? Well, Moses was not yet ready, and God knew that he was not yet ready. So, what did the Lord do? Well, he sent him out of Egypt, and he spent 40 more years, God getting him ready. All right, so think of it, 40 years in Egypt, and then 40 years in Midian, away from his people. And at the end of that second 40 years, he comes back, and that Pharaoh is gone. He's dead. A new Pharaoh is on the throne, and the whole thing has been forgotten. And now Moses is ready. He is now ready. The Bible says in Psalm 103 in verse 7 that he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. So in other words, the people saw God's acts, but Moses saw God's ways. Moses saw the way of God. And so when he came back, he was prepared. He was now ready. And that was when God used him to take the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now, in that first 40 years, he was full of his own ways. You with me? Yeah. I mean, he was full of his own ways. Now, it was in the latter days that he was to be the strong arm and the strong hand and strengthened by and empowered by God himself. In Psalm 77 in verse 20, The Bible says, thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. But here in this story that I read for you tonight, at the beginning of his life story, he is acting not in the power of God, not in the wisdom of God, not in the character of God. For Pete's sake, he killed somebody, all right? But he is acting in his own energy. In the first 40 years, he is rash. He is impetuous. He is headstrong. He is doing what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. And in the years to come, Moses would become one of the meekest men that that is found in the scriptures, conscious to a fault of his own weaknesses, and at every step looking to the Lord for guidance and for direction and strength. But here in our text, he is only leaning upon his own understanding. And without taking any counsel from God, just pushes right on. And he's going to do this regardless. And he just pushed and pushed, and it was not time. Moses, you're not ready. Folks, the point is, it would take some time before God would be able to get Moses where he needed him to be. It would take some time. As a matter of fact, it would take 40 years to get this strong, self-reliant man to be broken and humbled before the Lord so that he could be that vessel that the Lord could use, prepared for every good work. You see, folks, God's work can be done only by his chosen instruments who must be specially fitted for the service they are to render. You've got to be especially prepared by God for the work that God calls you to do. And that sometimes takes the Lord a little while to accomplish and to develop, especially if we are at all resistant in any way, shape, or fashion. And Moses was trying to single-handedly deliver his brethren from the bondage in Egypt. And God showed him right off the bat, no, you can't do this by yourself. You've got to have my help. You've got to have my strength. And so for 40 years, think about it, folks, 40 years, he is out on the backside of the desert doing the dirtiest work that you could possibly do in that day, tending sheep. Especially somebody else's sheep. So you're not ready, Moses. You're not ready. Now, I take you back to verse 25 that I read for you a moment ago. For he, in chapter 7 of Acts, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Folks, that is such a vital verse. The people, his brethren, did not understand what was in Moses' heart to do. He chafed at seeing his people being held as slaves. He chafed when he saw them being mistreated. So he stood up and very brazenly and brashly took matters into his own hands and hoped that all his brethren would follow his example and rebel against Pharaoh. But Stephen tells us they understood not. And folks, all this happened when Moses was 40 years of age. Now, isolated for 40 more years and tending sheep for 40 more years, all of a sudden, Moses looks across the way and he sees a bush. And that bush is burning, but it's not being consumed. And he looks away from it, just thinking lightning must have struck that bush. And he looks over his sheep, and in his mind, he's counting, make sure they're all there. Then he looks back over, and the bush is still burning, but it's not being consumed. And Moses thinks to himself, man, I got to go see this. What in the world's going on? And he walks over and stands in front of the bush, and all of a sudden, God speaks to him out of the bush. Hey, Moses, you're getting close to being ready. God's speaking to you. God's telling you what he wants you to do. But you see, Moses had to go to seminary before he was ready to do. Moses had to go to Bible college before he was ready to do what God called him to do. All right, does that make sense to everybody? And folks, that is exactly how the Lord works on us. You see, at 40, he saw all the injustice that his brethren had to deal with. And in his heart, he said, I got to do something about this. So when he tried to do something about it, he realized nobody is interested in my help. Nobody wants my help. So what's he do? He has to run. Pharaoh is going to kill him. So he has to run. And he goes for 40 years out on the backside, the Bible says, the backside of the desert. So what was the grand scheme of things here? What's the big picture? Well, here it is, folks. Sometimes God has to work on us before he can use us. Yeah. That's right. You see, look at his first attempt. His first attempt in Exodus 2, where I read to you from. His first attempt, he blew it. I mean, he messed up big time. He wanted to do this. It was not in God's timing. It was in his timing. And he left the Pharaoh's palace, went to Goshen with the Hebrew people, and he saw one of his brethren being abused, and so he just jumped in there all gung-ho and kills the taskmaster who was abusing him. And it became known. I mean, folks, be sure your sin will find you out. And it found out Moses. And so when he was discovered, and he knew that everyone knew what he had done, then he got afraid. And it eventually did get back to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh wanted Moses gone. And so he fled. And so when he fled, the whole thing kind of died down in Egypt, but nonetheless, Moses had to stay gone for a whole generation, 40 years, folks, a whole generation away and separated from his people. Don't forget, he's wanting to deliver those people. And God sends him all the way to Midian, way far away from the very people that he was trying to rescue. So, what do we see? Well, when he got down to Midian, he sat down by a well. And while he was sitting there, some young ladies came to draw water from the well, seven of them, as a matter of fact, and they were wanting water for their father's sheep. And some shepherds showed up at the well, and they wanted water for their sheep, so they started to drive the girls away from the well. And that's when Moses stood up and confronted the shepherds. And instead, Moses ran them off and then helped the women water their flocks. And so when the girls got home early, their father said, "Wow, you watered the sheep so quickly. How'd you do that?" All right, now look at your Bible in verse 18. Look at in verse 18 at the end of the verse. The father said, "How is it that ye are come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds." Does that sound strange to anybody? An Egyptian rescued us? I mean, I don't know if you realize this, folks, but the girls said an Egyptian helped them. Why didn't they say an Hebrew helped us? Why didn't they say that? The reason was because Moses had just spent 40 years in Egypt, and he looked more like an Egyptian than he did a Hebrew. He had Egypt all over him. He probably spoke the language of the Egyptians. He probably had on the garb of an Egyptian, and no doubt they thought that he was an Egyptian. My point is, folks, Moses' first attempt to deliver Israel was 40 years too early. He stayed in Midian for 40 years, and then he would return and deliver the people. But here's the point. Don't miss this now. God, though, had to get Egypt out of Moses before Moses could do what God wanted him to do. He had to get Egypt out of him. He had to get the world out of him. He had to get the flesh out of him. He had to get that lack of faith out of him. And God spent 40 years getting that out of him. If you look at verse 11 through verse 13, you will notice here that God was going to deliver them, and I think he imagined that he was going to lead the charge and be their deliverer. But they were not interested in following him. So the time was just not right. You see, he attempted deliverance, but it was premature. I think I've told you folks this before, but when I graduated from college, I just knew that there was a church running 1,000 somewhere that wanted a 22-year-old pastor. Boy, was I wrong. I mean, nobody wanted a 22-year-old pastor. You know, 22-year-olds, they're about as dumb as a box of rocks. You know, I mean, they just got through college and they think they know everything, but the simple truth of the matter is they don't know a thing. And so I ended up, instead of pastoring a church of 1,000 people, I ended up kind of starting my own church in West Virginia. And the first Sunday we had 36. 36 the first Sunday. You know, I I'll be honest with you, I made a mess out of that. I made a mess out of that church. It did not take long before the church was full, and we were. I tried to get a soul winning program going, and got rejected all over the place for that. Oh, we can't do that. Why not? Why? What do you mean we can't do that? And then you know, a couple other things that I tried to get the church to do, and they wouldn't do it. Just like the children of Israel here didn't want to have anything to do with Moses leading them out of Egypt. They didn't want to go. They just rebelled. And that is exactly what happens so many times to young pastors. They're young and they're full of energy. Oh, they got zeal, just not according to knowledge, as Paul said. And so the next thing you know, you've got some of the older folks in the church sitting there looking sideways at the preacher, thinking to themselves, you know, we have had 100 preachers before he came along, and we will then have 100 preachers after he's gone. And that's the mindset. And so when it comes to spending money, they don't want to spend any money. When it comes to advancing the cause of Christ, they weren't interested in doing any of that. And so the next thing I know, the Lord is sending me down to Belt Creek Baptist Church in Dixie. And I spent 6 years in that little church. And in that little church, that is really where the Lord got my heart and absolutely turned my whole focus and my whole direction around. Thank God for that little church. Thank God for it. And then the Lord sent me from Bell Creek down to a church running about 800. And in no time, we were running 1,400 and 1,500. In no time. No time. And I thought, wow, why couldn't I have had this church when I graduated from college? Oh, it doesn't work that way, does it? You see, the Lord sometimes has to work on you before he can use you. And so when Moses attempted the first time, he was flatly rejected. His attempted deliverance was premature. And so God had to drain him of his self-will, of his self-reliance, of his selfish interest, and then prepare him for the master's use. And when Moses had it upon his heart to deliver them, it simply was not yet time for God to deliver his people. Back in the book of Acts, in chapter 7, you need not turn there. I'll just read it for you. In chapter 7, we read these words in verse 23. It says, "And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart." You see, he wanted to do it. It was what was in his heart. He wanted to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. It was in his heart to do it, but they were not ready. They weren't ready in verse 11 when Moses thought he was ready. The point is, folks, God sometimes has to work on us. He has some work to do in us, which we can't see right at the moment. And sometimes we have to wait in order for God to do his work in our hearts so that God can use us. Oh, for grace to wait and to watch with God. We are always in such a hurry, aren't we? You know, in this land of instant, you know, we got instant everything. Instant oatmeal. I don't like instant oatmeal. I want mine to cook for 5 minutes. And I don't want that instant stuff. No, sir. I just don't feel like it's got the same nutrition as regular oatmeal. I may be wrong, but that's just the way I feel. But you see, we're always in a hurry, you know? We're always in a hurry. I told Karen recently I wanted a hot breakfast. She said, well, put the Pop-Tarts in the toaster. No, that really didn't happen now. You'd be good. You know, we're like Saul, King Saul. Remember what Saul did? He couldn't wait 1 hour. He couldn't wait 1 hour for Samuel to show up. So he went into the priesthood and violated the law of God and lost his throne over it. God said, go anoint David in Saul's stead. But he just couldn't wait 1 hour. Think about the Joshua with the children of Israel standing at the gates of that walled city of Jericho. You know, if we had been there, we would have been griping and fussing our heads off. What? We got to wait 7 days? You mean we got to march around this city blowing trumpets and marching in order? We got to do all this? Why don't... Listen, just knock the walls down, God. We're ready. But God said, no, I want you to do what I told you to do. And on the seventh day, they marched around 7 times. And when they did, the walls fell in. All they had to do was jump on the walls and go over. They didn't have to climb up to get over them. Just jumping there in that fast. My, my, my. It pays to wait on God, doesn't it? You see, we don't realize that while we are waiting, God is working in us. God is building our dependency upon Him. God is getting us to the place where we can get ourselves out of the way so God can step in and then use us for His glory. If God says shout, then you shout. And you watch Him knock the walls down so you can march in for the victory. You know, some of these young men that are called into the ministry nowadays, they say, well, I'm called into the Lord's work. I'm called into full-time service. Pastor, can you find me a church? No. What are you talking about, find you a church? I can't find you a church. God wouldn't trust you with a church. And I can tell you right now, I don't trust you with a church. Well, I surrendered to preach. Good. Preach. But go to school, get some education, learn something, listen to people who have done it, and then go out and make a mess of things. But don't just do it. Listen, Paul warned about a novice and just putting him in the ministry. You better be careful. You're putting a guy in there that has no idea what it means to trust the Lord, to wait on God. Better be careful. And folks, one more thing and I'll close. I want you to notice that it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Moses. You see, he spent the first 40 years of his life putting Egypt in. and then spent the next 40 years getting Egypt out. Wow. That speaks volumes, does it not? And God appeared to him when he was 80 years of age. 80 years. You say, well, why 80? Because that's where God finally knew that he could use Moses. And I think it's really neat when God sent him back, instead of coming back brash and brazen and forceful like he was when he left, he comes back a humbled man. He comes back meek and lowly. In Exodus 3 in verse 6, he was even afraid to look upon the Lord when he saw the Lord in that burning bush. He was even afraid to look upon him. He said, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Remember before he was pick up the spear and let's just go whoop them all. You know, but now he's arguing with God. He's broken. He's humbled. And he says to the Lord, when the Lord says, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And Moses is on his knees and he's bowed before the Lord. And he says, Lord, who am I that I should go and ask Pharaoh? Who am I? Man, that's humility right there. That's humility right there. Well, I tell you who you are, Moses. At 80 years of age, you're a man God can use. You see, at 80 years of age, he's finally gotten you where he can use you. He feels unworthy and unable and incapable. Lord, why me? How can I do this? You can't mean that you want me to do something like this. And folks, I submit to you that when Moses said all those things, Egypt was out of him. It was out of him. He could go back now and it wouldn't absorb him. It would just roll off of him. He was now going to stand for God. And he was going to serve the Lord. Oh, that we would just get out of the way and let God accomplish his will in us and through us. I get asked all the time, preacher, would you like to go back and start all over again? Well, if I can know what I know now, yes. If I could know what I know now. But I'm telling you, folks, sometimes God has to work on you a little bit before he can use you. You see, at 40, the people saw him as just another Egyptian. Just another Egyptian. Look at chapter 14 for just a moment. Look at chapter 14 for just a moment, and I'll close. Look at 14, Exodus 14, and look down, please, at verse 30. All right? This is after the Red Sea had swallowed up Pharaoh and all of his army. And it says that the children, in verse 29, the children of Israel walked upon dry ground in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Watch this now. Thus the Lord saved Israel. Do you see anything in there about Moses saving Israel? Nope. Nope, the Lord did it. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Because they believed the Lord, they trusted Moses. You see, a little bit of spiritual education is a whole lot better than college education. You see, the Lord can teach you some things. And we just need to listen to what God has to say. You see, He saved us for a purpose, has He not? Have you found out that purpose for your life? Hey, young people, have you found out that purpose for your life? I trust that you're listening to the Lord. All right, let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father in heaven, we ask now your blessings upon us. We just want to thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the instruction that is here in this passage. And I pray that you will help us to just see that sometimes you have to take us apart. You have to separate us and just get us where you can work on us a little bit. And Father, thank you for what you did in the life of Moses. And I pray now that you will help us to take this little truth we have learned tonight and apply it to our individual hearts. And Lord, use it in our lives. I don't know how your Holy Spirit might be working on someone here this evening, but Father, I certainly know that you have a purpose for saving each and every person in this room and each and every person listening on the internet. So Father, I pray that you will speak to all of our hearts tonight and draw us to yourself, learning to wait upon you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.